Countdown to Kickoff is presented by Tostitos.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Tostitos.
Tostitos.
Super Bowl 58, just 2 days away. Here in Las Vegas, the Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers so close to the Lombardi Trophy here in iconic Vegas. We're going to find out in 48 hours or so who will cement their names in history as the team that won it all in 2024. The Bellagio fountains are going off right behind us there. What a show. Everything's a show here in Vegas. Our crew is picking this game today at the end. You got to stay tuned the entire... We're dodging bumblebees. All right. You know what? Prayers up for the bee. I hope they're okay. Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, Ryan Clark. We're so happy to be with you here just ahead of the Super Bowl. We're going to make sure nobody gets stung. Let's come
is
right out of the
gate
with the matchup that we are most excited about, you guys. Marcus, what do you got for this game?
Let me get it popping. I'm not excited about this matchup with this damn bee, but I am excited about the matchup with Nick Bosa versus these tackles. He's been talking about the holding penalty as well. These offensive tackles, they do it quite a bit, but between I expect him to move around. I expect him to hunt matchups in this game and try to free up. It's something that has not become a custom for him, but I think it's something that he needs to explore. Chase Young has to have a big day. Y'all, I really believe whatever D-line outperforms the other, we'll probably be walking away with a Super Bowl championship.
What position did you play in the NFL?
Defensive line.
Shocker. You're going outside. I'm going inside. I think it's Javon Hargrave versus the interior guards of Kansas City. I've talked about how much I think Kansas City is going to help those tackles and not free up Bosa that much. I think Hargrave is going to have a ton of one-on-one opportunities. He was the big free agent signing. He just so happens to be coming off of the two best games of his season, 9 pressures. He has a big game. The San Francisco defense can hang.
What y'all thought I wasn't going to talk about Legarius Sneed?
Oh,
I know y'all saw the Lorax. Everybody needs a Sneed. Yeah, it's going to be his matchup on Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is the true number one wide receiver when we talk about the route concepts, his ability to get down the field, use stems and leverages. And we've seen Legarius Sneed set out some of the absolute best in the NFL, and he is a nail biter. He's a nail eater.
All right, I expect the Kansas City Chiefs to emulate my Korean mother and lean on a rice-based diet. I'm talking, of course, about Rasheed Rice, who has emerged as the number one wide receiver in this offense. They can hunt matchups. They put him in the slot. They put him outside. What they will do, what they should do, is keep him away from Tre'Davious Ward. And in doing so, because the Niners' corners play size, unlike Sneed, he's probably not going to follow him. They will get him on Ambry Thomas at some point, hopefully for a big play.
Your mom's name is...
You may R.C. Lee.
Sunmin.
Sunmin.
She's just probably watching.
You just
hey,
said.
Hey, I didn't have
that. By the way, hey, I didn't have that on my bingo card, and I didn't have the Lorax on it either.
But we did have rice cakes and basmati rice last night.
Which was the best part of our dinner. We'll see if we can get RC back in here, but he had to walk off after that line. Top Stories is brought to you by Tostitos. And for that, we turn to Jeff Darlington and Sal Palantonio. We're going to get them involved here with reports. Jeff, you have been with the Chiefs all week long. Now just 48 hours ahead of the Super Bowl, a little bit over that. What are they saying?
Well, Laura, if this week's practices are any indication, the Chiefs are absolutely ready for Super Bowl Sunday. Specifically on Thursday, Patrick Mahomes looked red hot at the start of that session. On his first 10 pass attempts, he threw 3 touchdowns. Now, the team did have a bit of an injury scare. Wide receiver Rasheed Rice had his foot stepped on, and he had to have that tended to. But he wasn't really limping at the end of practice, and Andy Reid said that he's not concerned. He thinks Rice will be just fine. So on Friday, the team again has their practice, and it will be a lighter evening. They'll have time to spend with their family before Saturday resumes with meetings, a walkthrough, and then a team photo. Now let's go to Sal Palantonio on the 49ers.
Hey there, Jeff, for the San Francisco 49ers. This is known as Fast Friday. At practice today, the Niners had 3 periods. 8 plays on first down, 8 plays on third down, and then 10 plays in the red zone. And the emphasis is on tempo, pacing, speed, fundamentals, and technique. Let's go to the defensive line specifically. It's about hand placement and pad level. Why is that so important? You want to get off the ball quick at Patrick Mahomes, especially to get some pressure on the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback in Super Bowl 58. Tonight, the Niners will reunite with their family and friends at the team hotel. Laura?
thanks to Sal Powell as well as Jeff Darlington. Reed, Mahomes, and the Chiefs have already made history by reaching a fourth Super Bowl in five seasons. They're just the third team to do so, joining Belichick and Brady, those Patriots from 2014 to 18. They won three titles, and the early 90s Bills with Marv Levy and Jim Kelly, they won none. KC trying to be the first team to win back-to-back titles since 2003 and 2004. We're back with RC. Came back.
Would you rather be the Bills or the Cowboys?
The Bills.
Interesting.
Go there four times and win none?
Why, Dan?
Better than never going.
Okay. Well, let's take a deeper dive into this Chiefs offense. Dan, we've heard you use the term four strong this week. What exactly does that mean, and why will it be important on Sunday?
Speaking of never going, I've never been to a Super Bowl. You have. I would imagine going into the Super Bowl, it's like, hey, what are we best at? That's the four strong formation for Kansas City this year. And it's the different ways that they utilize it to stress defenses, to help them out offensively, and the multiple ways that they can potentially get there for Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Matt Nagy. So four strong, four people to one side of the formation. They're really just stretched out up top with three strong. Now, they take the back immediately a horizontal stretch, take receivers vertical stretch, and then it's Kelce. Just use that space that we've created while we're also helping the protection in those tackles. The flat defender pays attention to the back. We vertically lift the coverage. And then Patrick and Kelce, that understanding of where the soft space is ideal. We start off in empty. Then we motion. Okay, now there's that four strong again where I have four people to one side of the formation. Now, it's big for the protection, right? We've talked about these tackles. Rashee Rice, such a big physical guy, he can essentially become a chip person. That back that went in motion is essentially that flat guy that was part of the first play. We lift coverage again, and then Rashee Rice goes from wide receiver to chipping off a defensive end to now a check down. Three guys at the bottom of the screen, back opposite. But we want to get to that four strong. So we hop the back, similar to so many teams that we've seen in these playoffs. There's an extension to it. Now this is third and three, third and four. Kelce's by himself. We will vacate coverage, flat route, right? Back goes to the flat right now. If he's free, give it to him. If not, Kelce, go pick for Rashee Rice in man coverage, and you have a wide receiver running away from the only person left on the field, Kelce being the selfless player here, and the ball out in front for Patrick Mahomes. I just think we're going to see that formation a ton in this game. One, it helps with the protection. We've talked about that with the tackles. Two, it floods areas. How do you want to attack zones? You flood areas. And then three, I think it's easy to kick RPOs out in those situations to a Kelce or a Pacheco in the flat.
I mean, if you're expecting a team to run a ton of zone, you want to flood the zones. You want to put people in situations where they have to make a decision, whether it's high or low, whether they want to squeeze inside out and try to make tackles when the ball is kicked to the outside. And so I think what the Kansas City Chiefs started to do was realize we don't have many people who are going to win one-on-one. Yeah. So how do we free up some of our best players by using not only formations, but routes off of those formations? And I think one thing I've watched Matt Nagy do is have an answer for what the coverage is. Yeah. When it's man coverage, you get the rub routes and the picks. And then when you get some of the things that we've seen from the zone principles, that's when he floods the zones with high lows and also level routes and outside sort of things. And so I love everything that they're doing, but it does start from that formation.
I like this against the San Francisco 49ers in particular. And by the way, they used it a lot the last time they played last season because of what I talked about at the top, which is I would really not throw in the direction of Tre'Davious Ward if I can help it, if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. You sacrifice him on the backside. You mentioned the Niners, they play size. Their corners play size. Yes. They don't usually travel with the wide receivers. So you could set, whether it's Rashee Rice as the isolated receiver.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you could single up whoever.
And you know what? Maybe they win that matchup. But the point is, you can put one of these other DBs in conflict if you're playing zone, say a Jair Brown or an Ambry Thomas or a Lenoir. I think for San Francisco, where it gets tricky, and Marcus, maybe you can speak to this, is well, what do you do to stop it? One thought I had, Dan talked a little bit about, you know, potentially using some of the skill players to chip, but even if they do chip, you do have a good chance of getting quick pressure against four strong because some of these routes take longer to develop. And if you can get quick pressure, you can at least force Patrick Mahomes to take the quickest option.
What's up,
now you got it. I was just going to say we have seen Tre'Davious Ward travel with DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown. I don't know if they'll see someone on Kansas City as that caliber or sort of body type.
To answer your question, MK, I'm going to bring pressure away from the four strong side.
Okay. So the single receiver guy.
Single receiver guy. And it's because, one, like you said, it is creating help for those tackles.
Yeah.
Now I extend, and even if I bring it once or twice in the game, because you obviously don't want to major in it, now I'm speeding up the process of your quarterback, right? Because it's what you and Dan talked about. It's really the overload and overwhelm one side of the football field. And usually when teams are doing that, the expectation is we'll have time for these things to develop and this space to create. If you run a rub route on two crossers and I got a DB coming off the edge, buddy, you ain't got time to do all of that. Right. So that probably would be my answer. And usually when we were playing defense, it's a short side of the field blitz where you don't have protection to help.
Hey, speaking of the blitz, how about that jacket he was wearing last night on the red carpet?
Ooh, that thing was beautiful.
He looked like that bumblebee.
He was blitzing him with it. The bumblebees have left us for the time being. I probably just jinxed it and they're
That's
coming
you
back.
Turn your thigh
hey, these
to the
big
camera
men,
right
they know what they're doing. Oh, yeah, close up on the thigh. And we're just getting started on NFL Live from Las Vegas. Those big men have shown out this year. Stay tuned for a special edition of Big Man Ballin', where Marcus takes us through the BMVs of the year. Plus, Sunday's matchup has no shortage of offensive firepower. Dan and RC will show you exactly why Isaiah Pacheco and Christian McCaffrey are so hard to contain. Don't go away. NFL Live continues next. NFL Live is presented by Tostitos. Get to the good stuff. We'll be back from Las Vegas in just moments right here on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Don't miss our next UFC Fight Night tomorrow at 7 Eastern. ESPN Plus, of course, is where you can catch all this. The middleweight bout, don't miss it. For UFC Fight Night on ESPN Plus.
Bring in the new year, BMB. Man,
I'm dead.
No, we the best athletes on the football field. We are blessed with the hand of God. BMB. We do this for the money.
Won't stop till I get me a bag.
I'ma name him Timothy Johnson III. Look at the big fella run. Somebody better block him.
Excuse me.
These are the brakes. Pick it up. Drinks on me. Club on me. We be tired, but we be ballin'.
Man, I'm bad.
Y'all, we so fun together.
Hey, by the way, really fast. The big man balled out last night in that lime green jacket.
Oh, I see you, my dog.
Goodness.
Oh, he's handsomer.
Marcus, it's time. Hit us with the three best BMBs of the entire season.
Y'all, you know, usually I have space, but I wanted to be a little grown today. Psych. Let's get into these big boys, man. Listen, this is a year in review, and I'm going to give the ones love that really dominated this year in football. First, we're going to start with T.J. Watt. I'm going to go to the home of the Steelers because RC on the planet right now. My man T.J. Watt lost his helmet, didn't give a damn. I got to get to the quarterback. I do it all season long, but not only that. He showed versatility. And in order to be a true BMB, you got to be versatile. Let me get that interception. Dan, you want to flood the zone? They lucky T.J. Watt ain't playing today because they dropped him in coverage and stand in the middle of the pocket. Let's get it, man. My man, Justin Matabike. R.C., he about to get a bag the size of your back. And it's because of this right here. It's the 101 that's been created. D.O., you talked about Javon Hargrave needing to be this guy.
Yeah.
Look at the range and the ability of the big fella. This is so impressive that we run this fast. But not only that, look at this one. This is the one. This is the hardest sack in football. All of that space for C.J. Stroud. And he told him, young fella, I know you've been balling out this year, but I got a bag to get to. Y'all know the offseason closed when I started talking about money. And last but not least, the defensive player of the year, based on the honor show, my man Myles Garrett, they call him Flash. He is the biggest human on earth if you ever stand next to him in person. But the man balled out of his mind. Literally, this defense had Cleveland in contention, and he was the ringleader of getting it done. That is the year in review. Woo! For the BMBs. I had to get them boys love. Man, right? One of them about to get paid, my man Justin Matabike.
Yeah,
the other
is.
Two already rich.
I can't wait to see where Matabike ends up, too.
Oh,
the Ravens want to keep him, but there's some other destinations,
too. Is that corduroy on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm five.
Man, I'm big.
What a fun year with BMBs. All right, let's get back to the Super Bowl.
You're the
Super
only
Bowl 58.
Like you.
A little over 48 hours away. And we're going to go back to the classroom with you guys, teach people something, okay? RC, you start. Teach us something about Isaiah Pacheco.
Well, first of all, it's not just about the fact that he runs in a violent fashion, it's about the way that they've been setting him up. And also, I love the way that they're using formation and personnel versatility when it comes to getting him free, especially on the second level. Here you're going to see they start out in 12 personnel, and Duke Riley is going to shoot the A-gap. They're going to pick him off, but let's also watch what they do downfield. Now you're going to see that when they get to the second level to get to the backer, also in the slot, they give him opportunities to get to the outside of the formation. Now he can use his speed. Here we're going to go 13 personnel, and we're going to get a kickout block on the backside as we fall back. There's also going to be a pull by the guard, which allows the tackle to seal. Watch the way Isaiah Pacheco now sets up these blocks, and right when he gets to crease, he accelerates, and when he gets to the second level, he can make people miss. I thought this was huge for them against the Miami Dolphins. And even when they go to 11 and they spread things out, watch the way that the tackle and the guard get to the second level, but also the pin that allows Isaiah Pacheco to use the one-cut ability, the jump cut to the outside, and again, now he's in free space. Once he gets into this free space, the Kansas City Chiefs have done an amazing job of giving him opportunities to not only make moves, but by setting up those blocks, use some of the speed that make him a dynamic tool in the backfield.
He's such a forceful runner.
Yeah. It's such a good tape.
Thank you.
You know what I love? The way you pointed out the once he sees the hole, accelerate. Yeah. I think that's rare for backs, right?
Yeah. For him, I think it's differently because not every back has that. And you can't compare him to some of the greats, but to me, LaDainian Tomlinson is the greatest example of that.
That's great pretty take. Good company right there. Yeah. He gets more acceleration when he gets in some traffic. All right, Dan, teach us something on the other side of the running back situation with Christian McCaffrey.
We've talked all week of how they're going to handle McCaffrey. We anticipate some forms of man coverage. I think what you got to be aware of is that they give him abnormal running back routes, and Kansas City's going to have to be prepared for that, whether it's in the middle of the field or in the red zone. Down in the red zone, he is such a viable pass-catching option. You motion him, and you teach your quarterback, like, hey, we could start front side, fade out, and then a shallow cross. Now, usually Debo would be running this little check down, but they switch the roles. He's the fifth read, and now McCaffrey's got all this vacated space to set defenders, and you're so scared of, like, is he going out or is he going in? And while that looks like a normal route, it's not for traditional backs. This time he's lined up in the backfield. So you're thinking, okay, just going to be some type of responsibility, potential man coverage. You clear it out, and you really have a safety covering McCaffrey. He inserts in the middle of the – just look at all the area that he has. He can sit down, go out, go in. This time it's a double move. This is not a broken play. That is a designed play for McCaffrey to essentially run from the backfield, like what we would call a rail route. And I just – as explosive and dynamic as he is – the way that he could run routes from the backfield, not lined up in a slot, but from the backfield, I think is something that is going to be so dangerous for Kansas City's defense.
I mean, you think about this 49ers offense without Christian McCaffrey, and it was always really good, and the scheme was a big reason why. But now Kyle Shanahan 100%. Being able to be the mastermind that he is offensively with a player like that. All right, let's see if we can make some people some money, okay? Time now for a DraftKings Sportsbook. Same game parlay for that. We're going to go to Mina Kimes. We'll stay with McCaffrey. Over under 4.5 receptions for him.
How can I not go over after that Dan. Excellent Dan tape.
I wish he'd have went under right after.
Yeah, right. Sorry, under. Everything you just said, yeah, they won't have a problem
with
him.
We got lucky on that one.
They will have a problem with him, but he also gets a lot of targets. He's actually led the team in targets. I anticipate Brock Purdy leaning on him as a safety blanket this game. I think they're going to find ways to hunt the Chiefs linebackers, so I expect him to be heavily involved.
259.5 passing yards is the number for Patrick Mahomes. Over, under that for the Chiefs quarterback?
I'm going under. In four of his last five games, he's gone under 260. Patrick Mahomes is perfectly content, slowly matriculating up and down the field. I think that's going to be the formula against San Francisco 49ers. This Chiefs offense is not about explosives.
Right.
It's about efficiency.
Yep. I cannot wait to see what you're going to do here. Over, under 47 points scored on Sunday.
I'm taking the over, actually. Yeah, the more I think about this game and the more I've listened to you geniuses talk about it, I think both offenses actually do have an advantage against both defenses, particularly on the ground. So I think these two coaches who are also brilliant offensive minds will find very intelligent ways to game plan for the weaknesses of these defenses.
Okay, a little preview maybe into some game picks here. They're all going to make their picks later in the show. You don't want to miss it. Find out who's winning Super Bowl 58.
I don't mind it.
According to us. More NFL Live carries on here from Las Vegas.
I'd like to be right back.
After this, from the last pick in the draft to the third youngest quarterback to start in a Super Bowl, can Brock Purdy keep his Cinderella story alive? Dan and Mina have noticed something special they'll tell you about.
Mr. Rebel.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And for Super Bowl 58, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use code NFLLIVE when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Countdown to Kickoff is presented by Tostitos.
Get to the Good Stuff is brought to you by Tostitos. We're here in Las Vegas, NFL Live, getting you ready for
Tostitos.
The Super Bowl,
I
just over
Tostitos
48 hours dip. Away. And Brock Purdy turned 24 in late December. Will be starting his first Super Bowl. Only Dan Marino and Ben Roethlisberger have started Super Bowls at a younger age. Purdy could also become the lowest drafted quarterback to win a Super Bowl, excluding the undrafted Kurt Warner. And Marcus, how do you expect that Kansas City defense to attack Purdy on Sunday?
There's an element of discipline that has to be displayed now as a defensive line and a front because of what he's shown against Green Bay and obviously against Detroit with his legs.
Yeah.
And the willingness to do it early in the play. And that's something that we talk about, understanding the timing. I think Dan showed this tape about his legs, or RC, one of you guys.
Yeah.
But it was more about when he decided to escape, more so than how it ended up, how the play ended up. Now, you put this on tape, and we got 2 weeks to get ready for the Super Bowl. Now, this is another element that's been implemented into this offense as far as a front seven that we have to have a plan for, because it not only was rushes, it was back-breaking plays against the Detroit defense. So I think Kansas City up front now has to add that part of Brock Purdy starting to feel that time in his face.
Really fast, that was Mina's tape.
Yeah. Oh.
With the legs.
Sorry. Okay. My bad.
Hey, fine, Marcus.
You did that to her.
We get confused a lot.
You know, we get all the same tapes.
I know a lot of times we get that sort of, you all always knock Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy's this and Brock Purdy's that. If I'm the Kansas City Chiefs going into this game, I don't care if Brock Purdy rushed for 175 yards.
You
know why?
You let that happen.
I just played Josh Allen, and I just played Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And so what they want to do is you want to take away the guys you don't want with the football in his hands. How do I take away Christian McCaffrey? How do I not give Deebo Samuel space? How do I knock the timing of Brandon Ayuk off? Because that's so tied in to the way that we can watch Brock Purdy not only anticipate, but throw with accuracy. And so to me, it's about beating the other guys and saying, okay, Brock Purdy, go above and beyond the X's and O's once again, as you did in the second half against Detroit, who I wholeheartedly feel I'm better than to beat me. And so I think that's where they have to focus if I'm Steve Spagnuolo. Yeah.
So, like, we're constantly trying to figure out how games are going to go, how teams are going to attack. I'll ask you guys a question. You don't know, like, where does San Francisco want to throw the football? Where do they want to throw the football?
Well, I think early you want to throw it inside in between the numbers.
Now, as a defensive lineman, when teams want to throw the ball in the middle of the field, what do you guys
pressure
always talk?
Pressure up the center of the pocket.
Or
get your hands up.
Okay, so if you look at that Detroit NFC Championship game, that showed up early on.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and I think that teams are – we were texting about this, right? Like, you're trying to pay attention to that and coach it.
Absolutely.
This is early on in the game, NFC Championship game. That's the access that they want, that middle of the field. Watch 97, Aiden Hutchinson at the bottom of the screen. Now, Marcus, talk to me about this a little bit because he sees Purdy reset and immediately – resets, that left hand goes up. Not right hand. That's purposeful, right? Righty quarterback.
Absolutely.
Both those defensive linemen are ready for it. So that's early in the game, the NFC Championship game. Two drives later, where do they want to throw the ball? In the middle of the field. Again, watch Hutchinson. I think this is something that is going to be very conscious for Kansas City's defensive line. There's that left arm again, right? And it was a huge story in that game. I always go back to the 2019 Super Bowl, and I think one of the key plays in the game, you just said it right there. This is 5 minutes to go. It's second and five in the fourth quarter. Watch Chris Jones. Where does San Francisco want to throw the ball? Middle of the field. Look at him, the vision. He's not rushing right there. That's it. And that third down, they got off the field. I just think it's one of those things because of the repeat matchup and stuff. Spags is going to be telling his guys. Like I just those defenders, those D linemen are going to watch Brock Purdy
and the size and stature as well.
Yeah.
To your point, like that's why they look for the 6'5" guys, the ability to and the arm angles that we focused on for so many years. But that pressure in the center of the pocket, y'all know how I feel about three techniques. I think they affect the game more now than they did before. But the batted balls, man. I mean. It's just one of them things. Feel that you can't get there, get your hands up.
Yeah, I mentioned this to Dan, but I interviewed Myles Garrett on Radio Row for YouTube this week, and I asked him, they played the San Francisco 49ers very well, obviously.
Yeah.
It's rainy, they didn't have Trent Williams, whatever, but the defense didn't. I said, well, what are some of the coaching points you got? And instead of talking about himself, he said, defensive tackle, defensive tackle, defensive tackle. It's so important to get interior pressure because Brock Purdy, you want to keep him from stepping up. Get your arms up. Batting passes. He mentioned to me, you know, we went into that game thinking, bat those passes.
Wow.
And when we're running games, meaning when the ends and the tackles switch positions, they had to have that in mind as well.
Yeah.
Always, when you're running the game, get your arms up. Cloud his vision in the middle of the field.
The other thing I noticed on Dan's tape, where I got almonds on my face,
was that they were
rushing to Trent Williams. You don't expect to win a ton on Trent Williams. And so I do believe if he gets his hands on you, the coaching point could be if you're rushing from the right side to get your hands up, because beating Trent Williams isn't something you expect to do often.
And one last thing, there's also a rule as a defensive lineman. We engage with one and we get the nearest hand up. That's why you saw
the nearest to
the quarterback.
Yeah.
So obviously when Bosa was rushing, the left hand was the nearest, because I still have to be ready for him to pull it down where I can disengage without giving my body up with two hands in there.
By the way, you mentioned the batted balls in this whole conversation. Brock Purdy is 6'1", so it's definitely smaller in stature. Definitely not 6'5".
Taller than me.
Well, you had
not
a different
me.
Position. You
but he better.
Position. You did really well. Yeah, that's true too, Dan. All right, NFL honors were held last night where the awards were given out. Let's get to some quick reads with a couple of the winners. Dan, we start with C.J. Stroud, the Offensive Rookie of the Year. How impressive was the season?
Obviously incredibly impressive. The more I thought about this when he won the award last night, I think the most impressive part of it is he did it not being a dual-threat quarterback. We've seen some young quarterbacks come into the NFL and play really well. More often than not, it's the dual-threat element. They throw it pretty good and they run around and make a ton of plays. CJ necessarily did not do that. So for him to play to that level and win Offensive Rookie of the Year just as really a pure passer, that took it to a different level for me.
The future of the league. All right, we were just talking about him. Marcus, Defensive Player of the Year goes to Myles Garrett. You agree with this one?
Yeah, I agree with it. Now, it's always a few guys. CJ Watt should have absolutely been in this conversation as well. But when you look at Myles Garrett and his impact, and I think the early season success of this Cleveland Browns football team, with all of the things that were happening at the quarterback positions with Deshaun injury, having to play, and they were able to still win, and he was the driving force and the catalyst of those key plays that needed to be made in order for them to have success. Congrats to Myles Garrett, man.
More hardware for Cleveland as Coach of the Year goes to Kevin Stefanski. You like it, Mina?
This is a little surprising. I actually voted for D'Amico Ryans. The playoffs happen after the vote comes in. I think that probably impacted it. But I do see certainly the case for Coach Stefanski, given what Marcus talked about, which is the level of adversity, losing your quarterback halfway through the season, the fact that they made adjustments around 38-year-old Joe Flacco and won games. Undeniably an incredibly impressive season from Stefanski.
RC, you agree with Lamar Jackson being the MVP?
You know, I do agree with it. And I think when you look at Lamar Jackson and his ascension, even though he won an MVP in only his second year in the NFL, the things that he's changed about his game, the way that he's grown as not only a player, but as a leader, I think we saw that on full display this year. And you only have excitement moving forward that he could continue to get better. But for Lamar Jackson, it remains and it still will be about playing this weekend, no matter how many of those awards he wins.
You know, some of that was bittersweet for him. He was laser focused on the Super Bowl. Also last night, the 7-member Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024 was revealed. Round of applause for these guys. Heavy on defense with two players in the top 20 all-time in sacks in Julius Peppers and Dwight Freeney, along with 7-time Pro Bowler linebacker Patrick Willis. Perhaps the greatest returner in NFL history in Devin Hester, along with wideout Andre Johnson. The senior finalists selected were also defenders Randy Gradishaw and Steve McMichael. Congratulations to the Hall of Fame class. Coming up, the moment, the day we've all been waiting for, just around the corner. When we come back, our analysts share the one thing that this Super Bowl could hinge on. And Marcus has a word of warning for the 49ers. Our game picks are coming up as well. You're watching NFL Live, presented by Tostitos.
Tostitos.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Tostitos.
Your Super Bowl Sunday starts with NFL Countdown live from Las Vegas. We go one-on-one with Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes.
I'm trying to climb some of those ranks. I want to be remembered for the team that we have and the way that we did it.
Plus, Adam Schefter's latest news and a Super Bowl edition of...
You got Moss.
NFL Countdown on Super Bowl Sunday, 10 to 2 Eastern on ESPN.
And make sure you don't forget to see Boomer and Booger on NFL Primetime after the game, Sunday at 10:30 Eastern on ESPN and streaming live on the app. We're so glad you're with us today on NFL Live. And one of the most special parts of this job is all of you that we honestly feel like are our family. We love when you reach out. We see a lot of those messages, and it means so much to us. And it's always amazing to me to even think that we could have even the smallest impact on all of you. Recently, I got a tweet from Matt Haynes talking about his daughter, Kate, and his other daughter, Macy, as well. And here's what he said, talking about his daughter experiencing some harshness from boys over her knowledge of football, pointed to some of the female voices covering the NFL as examples to look up to. We were honored to be mentioned in this tweet, so we sent Kate a video. Hi, Kate. It's Laura Rutledge from ESPN. Your dad let me know that you really love football and that there are some boys who think you may not know as much as they do. I just wanted to tell you I can relate. That happens a lot. But just keep at it, and you're going to be great. You're going to do great things. I love to hear that you love the game, and I hope to keep in touch. So we invited the entire Haynes family to Las Vegas this week for a behind-the-scenes look at NFL Live. They got to meet Dan, Marcus, and RC before the show, as well as Mina. And then we invited Kate, Macy, and their dad, Matt, as well as their mom, Erin, to join us on set. We had a big surprise waiting for them. So now we're here with the Haynes family. We have Kate and Macy here, and we're so glad that you guys could join us. Kate, I know that you're such a huge football fan, and I'm wondering why you like the game so much.
It started out, I didn't understand anything about it, and I wanted to know what was happening. And so then I decided to ask my dad questions, and then I was... Next thing I knew, I was watching the game, I was understanding the game, sometimes calling, trying to call plays, understanding things, and trying to go, that's holding, and calling penalties that the refs don't get. So the next thing I knew, I felt like I knew everything, and then I started enjoying that fact, and I started enjoying the sport.
I love it.
Wow. Sounds a lot like my story, honestly, with my dad, too. That's so cool. So you guys are from Charlotte. This might influence the answer to the question I'm going to ask. Who's your favorite player?
Probably Bryce Young.
Bryce Young.
Good choice. We love it.
You guys are hopeful for the next season? Feeling good?
Just get him up and give him more opportunities.
Practice
with him. And we're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, I love it. Kate, you have a future in TV, I think, if you want. We also wanted to let you guys know, we actually have another really special surprise for you. So come on in here, boys. On behalf of the NFL, we are sending you to the Super Bowl.
Let's go!
You're going to the game, you guys.
Wow. Look at this.
These are your tickets.
You got a whole big game.
Wow. Kate, how do you feel?
Yes, man.
You pumped?
I am lost for words. This very rarely happens.
Awesome. Thank you.
Congratulations, you guys. Have fun at the game. Thanks to the NFL for this incredible gesture. Who's winning the game? Do you guys know?
You got a prediction for us?
The Chiefs, unless the 49ers have been working on how to stop the plays from the offense of the Chiefs. Then if the defense can do that and keep the ball away from Mahomes, then they may have a shot at winning.
I love it.
You get it.
Analysis right here.
That sounds a lot like what I'm about to say.
You guys have so much more fun at the game. We appreciate you being here. And thanks for being a great representative for Vegas. We are going to pick the game coming up next. Everybody on the set puts their picks out, and we finally find out who's taking the 49ers, who's taking the Chiefs. We'll be right back from Vegas with more.
Yay!
NFL Live is presented by Tostitos. Get to the good stuff.
Tostitos.
Get to the good stuff.
I'm not really sure I could ever say Tostitos without you saying it, too.
You can.
Thank you for being
you
right here with me.
What's
There's Allegiant Stadium. This is very close to us where we are right here on the Strip, the site of Super Bowl 58 between the San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs. Just over 48 hours until this thing kicks off, and we cannot wait to see
sick.
Who wins this. It's one of my favorite stadiums, to be totally honest. I can't believe we're here. We can really just dive right into our true Super Bowl talk. Mina, give us one thing that you think could help decide the game on Sunday.
Whether or not Kansas City can run the ball the way that we have seen the Lions and Packers do it against San Francisco. It struck me watching RC's great Isaiah Pacheco tape. Their run game is very different from the concepts we saw those other teams run. It's very north-south between the tackles. Whereas in the playoffs thus far, and really throughout the regular season, the San Francisco defensive line has been so vulnerable to those pin pull runs attacking the outside. So I want to see if Kansas City switches it up at all. I would not be surprised if early on in the game we see some jet sweeps. Maybe you get Hardman involved, McKinnon as well, to try to approximate that. But if they can run the ball, I think, efficiently, and it's certainly plausible, I'm interested in seeing what that looks like.
I think I could see Kansas City offensively going 13 personnel, one back, three tight ends, and to your point, like figuring out different ways to get to. I would line up and be like, you fixed it? I don't care if it's been 2 weeks. I just saw all these reports of the lack of effort getting said about your defense as well.
So
I would kick the out. I think the goal for Kansas City almost on every single play is get the ball away from Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw.
Yes.
And that's the easiest way to do it.
Man, that's just so difficult
to do, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you look at these guys, and I think you've had to use some of their aggression against them,
yeah,
and some of those teams that have done that best has run the ball to the perimeter. So I think, to Mina's point, what will KC do to accentuate something that they don't major in
exactly.
week in and week out?
What's your one thing that's going to factor in here?
The fast start. Brock Purdy and this offense has to get off to a fast start. And this is the issue with Patrick Mahomes, unlike anybody else. We saw him suffocate Baltimore
choke you out
in the second half.
You did,
because
bro.
They were down. And we know that Brock Purdy, first three quarters of Green Bay, struggled. It looked bad. I was like, this team is going to lose this game. And then he summoned up, answered some questions about being down. And obviously Detroit got off to a fast start. I'm going to tell you this right now. You go into halftime down 24-7 to Andy Reid and
Castle
Pat Mahomes,
Christmas.
You might well start packing your bags up
yeah,
and planning on having a bad day. So this is – we've talked this week about Brock Purdy. We've talked about this offense. Y'all, this is still football. This quarterback is going to have to perform now.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and in a game where Steve Spagnuolo is the defensive coordinator,
yeah.
he's going to put the onus on a second-year quarterback to try to win this game for the San Francisco 49ers.
I think that's so important, especially we've talked about for all week now, the single biggest advantage San Francisco has is on the ground versus Kansas City. You don't want that advantage taken away from you by game script. You need to stay, keep Christian McCaffrey involved, and if they fall down a couple of scores,
absolutely.
That's going to fall out of their hands.
I would bootleg the heck out of Brock Purdy to start this game. Get him outside the pocket. Let his legs be a part of it. Settle him in.
Get him
and
comfortable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Easy completions.
All right. What about your one thing that's going to factor into this?
I think my one thing is what coach makes that aggressive decision.
Mm.
You know, Mina loves to say this, and the numbers bear it out sometimes, but also the moment has to do that. If you're a Kyle Shanahan and you've never won this game despite your playoff success, you may have to drop them at some point.
Yeah.
And we know Andy Reid did that on the first drive against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
It was 4th-and-2, and he said, I have to go make this play. And I think, to me, that could be an important facet in this game.
RC, when you look, the fact that you said, because when we look at the Super Bowls that we've been able to cover since we were in Tampa, it's always been a critical play.
Whoever's
it's always been something
call.
Unexpected, right?
Yeah.
So, and then, too, this iteration of the league. And Mina has done as well
she
a job
me.
As anybody.
Yeah.
Make, yeah, helping us understand the why to why people are doing
yeah.
it. But to your point, too, RC, also the personnel.
Right.
Right? Like Andy
both
Reid.
Both of these teams should be able to convert 4th-and-1s
yes.
against both of these defenses.
Yes, yes.
Both
that, and that's
you
what
said
I was
it
getting
earlier.
At.
You
yeah,
think
sorry.
Now the offenses actually have advantages over both defenses,
yeah.
too, which I think is really interesting. All right, what's your
yeah.
one thing that factors in here?
Mark, I'm switching this up on mine. I just, you guys piqued my mind. Kyle Shanahan in the fourth quarter. His teams that have gone to the Super Bowl have been outscored 36-0 after the third quarter.
Ooh, wow.
You go back to the Atlanta game. You go back to the 2019 Super Bowl. And always the takeaway is, like, how did those teams lose those games?
Yeah.
You just said what coach makes the aggressive decision. I don't know if it's going to be make the aggressive decision
or the right
out of
decision.
Kyle, or is it going to be like, no, I'm trying to take 90 seconds off
yeah.
of this clock. That's
right.
more important. I think watching
wow.
how Kyle Shanahan
that matters, though.
Handles this fourth quarter is going to go a long way to determining does San Francisco win and he build a Hall of Fame career or not.
Another thing, too, and this is what's so fascinating about Brock Purdy playing in this game and all of the talk that we've had, you got to trust him now.
And
yeah.
does it.
If you Kyle Ham,
you think he does?
Kyle Shanahan.
I think Kyle will not blink trusting
that,
Brock
that,
Purdy.
That, okay. That's what I wanted to hear from you, because, like, you get here, and, it's nice to say we're going to try to convert these 4th-and-3s, and we're going to put you in situations that other guy on the sideline has to have some influence on that decision-making and this ultimate trust in your quarterback.
Purdy's mobility is going to be so massive
yeah.
in those moments. It is what's different about him as a quarterback. Same thing on the other side of the football. Both of these quarterbacks will make important runs, scrambles, and key moments. Final word.
Yeah, I just think for me, it's that excitement, though. It's a guy whose start of his career mirrored a Tom Brady,
yeah.
and now he's here in his second year, and the dude whose resume
yeah.
is mirroring the opportunity to challenge Tom Brady as a GOAT.
Yeah.
Which one of those guys
yeah,
comes
history.
Up with that play that Mina's talking about?
You guys ready to pick the game?
Oh.
Let's pick the Super Bowl. All right, Marcus, you first. Who you taking, Chiefs or 49ers?
I learned my lesson, man. I didn't think anybody could walk into M&T Bank Stadium and beat the Baltimore Ravens. And that's even after Patrick Mahomes Mahomes and showed us all the things we've seen. I got the Kansas City Chiefs, man. I feel more comfortable being wrong and being surprised and shocked that the Kansas City Chiefs don't win this game with 15 playing quarterback and the way this defense has been playing. I'm going to take KC 28-21.
I'm going Kansas City as well. I've picked against Patrick twice
last year's
Super Bowl in the AFC Championship game. I think their offense is so focused right now on exactly how to attack defenses. Mm. If Kansas City, hear me out, if they play a clean game, which they have in these playoffs, that's what they didn't do in the regular season, clean game with turnovers and penalties, I think they control this game from start to finish.
We're in the danger zone because I also have Kansas City.
I'm going to
not mention Mahomes. We haven't talked about Andy Reid. And I just want to stress, Andy Reid with 2 weeks to game plan, we saw it in the Super Bowl last year. He is such a brilliant individual game planner.
Yes.
I think he's going to come with an excellent game plan on
RC,
offense.
Come on.
I'm going Kansas City. But I will take my little 20 seconds to say this. If this is our last time as a group working together, I think you guys are the best in the world. Laura, you're the best at running a show. Dan, you've challenged me to watch more film and be better. Mina, you've challenged me every single day to be smarter. And Marcus, you've taught me that football is still a game, and as long as we entertain and make it fun, people will watch it. My brother. Love you guys with all my heart.
Let's keep RC here. That's what I'm going to say so I don't cry.
All right, guys, I'm going to save the day here because I'm going with the 49ers.
Yes, Kristen.
And let me tell you this. Dan talked about it earlier. He is running routes. He's so valuable, but he does it out of the backfield instead of just in the slot. I think McCaffrey is the ultimate difference maker in this game. I love the Chiefs, you guys, but listen.
You love us more.
I do love you guys.
Yeah.
And listen, hey, I just want to clarify something. NFL Live's not going anywhere. We will be here every day. We are a year-round show, but this season has been so much fun with you guys.
Absolutely.
A shout-out to our crew back in Connecticut. We appreciate y'all. You guys are our true leaders. We'll see you back on Monday to, of course, talk about the Super Bowl. And another big shout-out to Lydell King, RCP.
Let's go live. Get well, brother.
We love you. We'll see you guys on Monday. Enjoy the Super Bowl from Las Vegas.